The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Woman's Day, Real Simple, Martha Stewart Living, Good Housekeeping and Better Homes and Gardens. And let's begin with this one from Better Homes and Gardens, How to Store Your China. When it's time to put it all away, take care to ensure your collection stays table ready. First, separate and stack. Always place a coffee filter or piece of felt between pieces so they don't scratch each other, says Julie Robbins, product specialist at Replacements. And never stack plates or bowls more than 10 high. The weight can actually damage pieces on the bottom, Robbins says. Excuse me. Then store. Opt for hard-sided cases to protect your dishes on all sides, like some from the Container Store, or use a banker's box. Also, pay attention to temperature. The cold or heat in attics and garages can crack the glazes. Hard-sided cases, blue felt liners, and silver flatware wraps are all available at the Container Store. They also say, keep platters in a sturdy gift box lined with felt. Those are for your bigger pieces. From Millie, Your Money, Your Life, ask Millie. You've got questions, we've got answers. It's open enrollment. How do I navigate all the supplemental benefits? Do I really need a critical illness plan? Many employers offer a wide range of benefits, including health insurance, paid time off, and access to 401k plans. Increasingly, firms are also giving employees the chance to opt into an additional array of voluntary benefits like critical illness insurance, as well as auto, homeowners, travel, and even pet insurance. To decide whether these are worth it, read the fine print for the terms that include exclusions and limitations. And if you still need some guidance, reach out to your employer's HR team. More employers are also offering access to benefits educators, typically an outside source brought in to help employees better understand and utilize their benefits program. You can call this person and work through your options together to decide what makes the most sense for you, says Kim Buckey, Vice President of Client Services at Direct Path, a Birmingham, Alabama-based benefits education firm. Before signing up for a critical illness plan, Buckey recommends assessing your situation carefully. Make sure to ask for specifics on what illnesses are covered, as some plans limit coverage to a specific list of conditions. The amount of the benefit, there's typically a range, and who can be covered. Some plans allow you to cover your spouse as well. If you're the sole provider for your family, you might want to consider opting in. Buckey says of these plans, which can cost anywhere from $6 to $50 a month, depending on your age and coverage level. For example, a 25 to 29-year-old non-tobacco user could be eligible to receive $30,000 worth of coverage for themselves and a spouse for about $15 a month. You'll get a lump sum benefit if you're knocked out of commission or hospitalized, and you can use that money to cover out-of-pocket medical costs, rent, or student loans. It's a nice extra layer of financial security. From Woman's Day, thank you. In this season of gratitude, six women reflect on their appreciation for extraordinary acts of kindness. First, to my high school boyfriend, who provided a place to stay while my dad was sick. This was Kate Chapman of Yoder, Colorado. My 73-year-old father was dying of multiple myeloma in a hospital in Cleveland, a couple of hours from where my parents lived. In 2014, my mother, then 72, couldn't afford a hotel long term, so she was driving 4 hours round trip to see him daily, and with the stress, she wasn't eating well or sleeping much. I knew I had to relieve some of the stress on my mother, or I could lose both parents. My friend Rob, well, my ex-boyfriend, really, lives in Cleveland suburbs. Rob and I dated for 8 months in high school. I bruised his teenage heart when I broke up with him. But somehow he didn't hold a grudge. We're both happily married to other people, But we touch base every few years, and when he learned of the toll my dad's situation was taking, he invited my mom and me to live in a beautiful condo his family owned on Lake Erie. It was such a calming place to be together while my father was sick. We'd wake up in the morning to the sun shining on the water. We slept better. We cooked healthy food. And because we were only 15 minutes from the hospital, my mother never missed another doctor's rounds for the 3 weeks until my dad finally passed away. That condo saved our lives. Rob showed us so much trust in letting us use his place, no questions asked. I still can't believe the generosity he showed us. Next, to the man who paid my college tuition. This is Dejua Pouncil of Neodesha, Kansas. How to cover college was a huge financial worry for my family. In high school, I saved all my money from my job as a lifeguard while my single mom bartended at 3 different places just to add a little to my college fund. In our tiny town of Neodesha, Kansas, most of my friends were in the same boat, poor and stressed about finances. Some had given up on the idea of college altogether. I'd been accepted at Wichita State University to study dental hygiene, but seeing the bills on paper was very scary. During the first semester of my junior year in high school in 2019, all the students were called into the auditorium for a big announcement. An alumnus named Ben Cutler was starting a program called Neodesha Promise. He pledged to pay college tuition and fees for every kid in town. As soon as we heard, my friends and I all started crying and hugging one another. It was such a weight off my shoulders. My mom was so happy, too. I loved that she was finally able to buy some things for herself instead of always saving up for her kids. Last year, when she ran into Ben Cutler at the country club where she worked, she told him, "Thank you so much. I'd like to thank him again here." Next, to the neighbors who watch out for us. This was Cherry Dumayal of New Fairfield, Connecticut. My husband Howard is 86. I'm 69, and chores have gotten more challenging for us as we've gotten older. But we have a gaggle of neighbors who make us feel young. Like Sophia, 13, who bakes cupcakes for our neighborhood get-togethers, and her brother Mateo, 15, who helps set up picnic tables and chairs on the lawn. Luke, 10, and his brother Andrew, 8, help clean our lawn furniture, and they help bring drinks and dishes to the lakeside for gatherings, minimizing the steps my husband and I have to navigate. Our neighbors Len and Carol set up their extra gazebo to help us keep cool, and Tom is always there to assist with malfunctioning grills, faucets, and lights. Though we've known most of our neighbors for years, the pandemic made us realize how precious good ones are. With their generosity, we're able to stay in our lake home and love being here. Next, to the stranger who helped with a burst tire. This is Serene Seas of Atlanta. 6 months pregnant. I'd been running errands with my 3-year-old son on a super hot summer day in 2007 to buy some last-minute things for the baby. Just as we hit the freeway exit ramp to head for home, I heard a loud pop. My tire had burst. I managed to make it to the nearest gas station, where I called my husband to try to figure out what to do. I was too big to change a tire myself, and we wouldn't have money to pay for a new tire until payday, 3 days away. My husband couldn't even get to us because I was driving the only car we had. We were stuck. As I sat trying to figure out what to do, a van pulled up beside me. A man got out and said hello, then grabbed a tire and some tools from inside his van. My husband had sent someone to help me, I thought. But when I called him, he had no idea what I was talking about. In confusion, I asked the man how he'd found me. It turned out a friend of his had seen my tire pop and called this mechanic to find me and swap out my tire. The stranger had paid for the whole thing. I never met him, but I talked to him briefly on the phone. "I'm just doing it because God put it in my heart to do it," he explained. I don't even know this Good Samaritan's name, but I vividly recall how amazing it felt to have a stranger do something so thoughtful and kind. It strengthened my resolve to look for the beauty in life and the good in others. And this one, to the stranger who stayed with me after a terrible accident. This is Air Plecha Reese of Pittsburgh. On a trip to Cancun, Mexico, in 2001, two friends and I had just gotten off a city bus late one night after eating at our favorite local restaurant. While they stood on the curb at the bus stop, and I paused in the street inset to talk to them, a bus pulling into the stop plowed into me. It was going 10 or 15 miles an hour, and my head hit the windshield so hard it cracked the glass. I ended up under the carriage, fully conscious. While my girlfriend panicked, a total stranger, my friends later told me he was a young EMT from California, crawled under the bus to care for me. He stayed with me, refusing to let anyone pull me out until my neck was properly secured. He even offered to pay the fee so the ambulance would drive me to a hospital. I spent the next week in an induced coma as the swelling in my brain went down, so I never got to meet the man who helped me. In fact, I don't remember anything else from that week until the moment I was in a wheelchair, being pushed through the airport to go home. Luckily, there were no long-term effects from the trauma other than a scar where I have had to have plastic surgery on my ear. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if that EMT from California hadn't been there. It has meant so much to me that a total stranger would do such a thing for someone they didn't know. I hope he knows what an impact he made. And last, to the woman who held my screaming baby on a long flight. And this is Stephanie Ryan of Carmel, Indiana. I wasn't too worried about my overnight transatlantic flight with my 8-month-old until I ate a sandwich from an airport kiosk right before we got on the plane. Worst mistake ever. Just as my son and I were both falling asleep, I started feeling awful. I dashed to the back, baby in my arms, to throw up. From then on, every 20 minutes or so, I was sick. My son did not like being woken up repeatedly, so he screamed every time. I already felt as if I were going to die from the food poisoning. Now I had to worry that my baby's howls are keeping the entire plane awake. While I waited near the toilets, a woman walked back and said, "You look like you could really use some help." Her own child had fallen asleep on her husband's lap, she said, as she offered to take mine. I wearily handed him off. For the remaining 6 hours of the flight, this stranger cuddled my son so I could take care of myself. When the plane landed in England, she returned him to me, well-rested and happy. Her kindness changed how I travel. Now if I see a mom struggling, I'm like, "Hey, can I help you in any way? I have wipes, I have diapers. I can hold your baby if you need to use the bathroom." Because that woman was the best thing that could have happened to me. I really could not have survived that terrible trip without her. And from Millie's library, that's all she wrote. Christina Pascucci Chiampa's bookstore is a safe, inclusive space for authors and readers alike. Here she outlines her top 6 picks for your fall reading list. First, maybe, here it is, Chiampa's favorite books. First, "I Hope This Finds You Well," colon, poems. This is a poetry book by Kate Bayer, B-A-E-R. What I love most about these sets of poems is how Bayer reclaims the vitriol from the online trolls she deals with on a daily basis. She transforms what is ugly and painful in their messages into something beautiful. Her second pick, Matrix. It's fiction by Lauren Groff, G-R-O-F-F. In Groff's newest novel, we're immersed in the story and life of Marie de France, a woman in 12th century France who is banished to a failing, starving nunnery. Despite Marie's resentment, her intelligence and ambition transform the nunnery into a thriving, powerful community of women. Number 3, Hail Mary. This is nonfiction by Brittany de la Cretaz and Lindsay D'Arcangelo. I'll spell it D-E-L-A-C-R-E-T-A-Z and D apostrophe A-R-C-A-N-G-E-L-O. And as an avid sports fan with a penchant for reading all things queer history, I instantly fell in love with this book. Hail Mary shares the story of the rise and fall of the National Women's Football League through the female players who loved and played the game, despite society telling them they shouldn't or couldn't. Next, I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness. This is fiction by Claire V. Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S. This book is bold, tender, and darkly hilarious. It explores postpartum depression, a dead Manson family member, vaginal teeth, and a tenure-track professor's escape to the desert. Watkins demonstrates how confronting hard things can bring out a brutal kind of beauty. Next, Tacky. This is nonfiction by Rax King, K-I-N-G. This collection of essays has 2000s nostalgia, the good and bad, written all over it. In each essay, King captures her personal and generational experiences and explains the joys of low culture and bad taste with heartfelt honesty and humor. Sometimes the power of nostalgia, as tacky as it may be, has a way of being the reminder we need to hold on to the special memories we have with the ones we love. And her last recommendation, Assembly. This is fiction by Natasha Brown, B-R-O-W-N. Assembly is a true novella that has something to say, and Brown does it so well. This amazing debut novel is about a young, black, British woman living in London who has assembled her life to appear rosy and successful while secretly struggling with a lack of acceptance in white spaces. This book packs a powerful punch as it deals with race, class, freedom, capitalism, colonialism, and whether it's time to take apart all that has been carefully assembled in order to take control. From Woman's Day, Health Checklist, 5 Little Wellness Moves to Make Right Now. First, keep an eye on blood pressure. Research shows that hypertension is a strong risk factor for glaucoma, which usually occurs when pressure in the eye damages the optic nerve. Scientists don't fully understand the link, but it's a reminder that heart health affects the whole body. So make sure your eye exams include an eye pressure test. Next, shop till you drop. In a recent study, women who did the most light physical activity, like shopping or walking, had a 46% lower risk of losing their mobility, meaning having serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs, during the research period compared with those who were more sedentary. Every bit of movement helps, so challenge your family to a pre-turkey dinner dance-off. Next, be a good listener. You could help a friend boost her brain power. Newer research shows that people who have someone who listens attentively when they talk have better cognition than those who have little social support. So call a friend you lost touch with during the pandemic. Next, fill up on these foods. People with diets rich in fermented foods like yogurt, kefir, and kombucha, as well as kimchi and other fermented veggies, have more diverse bacteria in their guts and less inflammation. Further proof that having a wide variety of gut bacteria leads to reduced risk of chronic conditions like diabetes. So look for yogurt with live bacteria cultures listed on the label. And last, if you haven't already, get your flu shot. Not only does the flu shot lower the odds that you'll get very ill from influenza, but also new research shows that it reduces the risk of COVID-19 complications. Some experts say the flu could hit earlier this year, so it's smart to get immunized ASAP. So support your immune system with a daily cup of green tea in addition to getting that flu shot. From Martha Stewart Living's Ask Martha column, is there a difference between sweet potatoes and yams? They're totally different, says Living Assistant Food Editor Riley Wofford, of these distantly related tubers, which are often confused due to market mislabeling. Yams are starchy and dry with dark, hairy, bark-like skin. Sweet potatoes are lighter in color, smoother, creamier, and yes, sweeter. Go for the latter on Thanksgiving, which has passed already, and you'll get the luscious flavor and feel you're after in your holiday sides. From Woman's Day, pie-spiced apple fritters. Active time, 25 minutes. Total time is 30, and it serves 6. We need canola oil for frying, 1/2 cup granulated sugar, 1 teaspoon apple pie spice divided, 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons packed light brown sugar, 1 1/2 teaspoons baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/2 cup fresh apple cider, 1 large egg, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, and 1 large Granny Smith apple. Fill a large Dutch oven with 1 1/2 inches of oil and heat to 350 degrees. Set wire rack on a rimmed baking sheet. In a small bowl, combine granulated sugar and 1/2 teaspoon of pie spice and set aside. In a large bowl, whisk together flour, brown sugar, baking powder, salt, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon of pie spice. In a separate bowl, whisk together the cider, egg, and vanilla. Add the cider mixture to the dry ingredients, mixing until just combined. Peel and core apple. Coarsely grate 1/2 an apple and cut other 1/2 into 1/4 inch pieces. Gently fold into the batter. Working in batches, drop spoonfuls of batter, about 2 tablespoons each, into the oil. Fry, turning once until golden brown, 2 to 4 minutes. Toss warm fritters in the sugar mixture. Transfer to the wire rack. Serve warm or at room temperature. Hanukkah is November 28th through the 6th of December. So how about some classic latkes? Latkes? Active time and total time are both 30 minutes and it makes 20. We need two large eggs, 2, kosher salt and pepper, 2 pounds medium russet potatoes, 2 medium onions, 1/2 cup of matzo meal, 8 tablespoons olive oil, and toppings if desired. In a large bowl, whisk together eggs, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. In food processor fitted with a large grating disc or on large holes of a box grater, grate the potatoes and onions. Add to the bowl with the eggs and toss to combine. Stir in the matzo meal. Heat 2 tablespoons oil in a large skillet on medium. Gently drop 5 large spoonfuls of the potato mixture, or about 1/4 cup each, into the skillet. Flatten to create even pancakes and cook until browned and crisp, 4 to 6 minutes per side. Transfer to wire rack or paper towel lined plate. Repeat with remaining potato mixture, adding more oil to the skillet as necessary. When getting near the end of the potato mixture, strain and discard any liquid at the bottom of the bowl. Serve warm with toppings if desired. How about some Hanukkah sugar cookies? Active time, 25 minutes. Total time is 40. Makes 30 to 50 cookies depending on size. We need 2 3/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 cup or 2 sticks unsalted butter at room temp, 3/4 cup sugar, 1 large egg, 1 1/2 teaspoons pure vanilla extract, and tinted buttercream frosting for decorating. In a large bowl, whisk together flour, baking powder, and salt. Using electric mixer, beat butter and sugar until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. Beat in the egg, then the vanilla. Reduce mixer speed to low and gradually add flour mixture, mixing just until incorporated. Shape dough into 4 discs and roll each between 2 sheets of wax paper to 1/8 inch thick. Chill until firm, 30 minutes in the refrigerator or 15 minutes in the freezer. Heat oven to 350. Line baking sheets with parchment paper. Using floured cookie cutters, cut out cookies, place on prepared sheets. Then re-roll, chill, and cut scraps. Bake rotating positions of pans halfway through until cookies are light golden brown around the edges, 10 to 12 minutes. Let cool on sheets 5 minutes before transferring to wire racks to cool completely. Decorate with tinted buttercream frosting if desired. From Martha Stewart Living, Holiday Sip. To serve festive drinks at Thanksgiving without shaking or stirring the evening away, prepare a seasonal, pitcher-perfect cocktail with or without alcohol. It's called the Cranberry Sparkler. Puree 4.5 cups fresh blackberries from 3 6-ounce containers in a food processor or blender. Strain through a fine mesh sieve set over a bowl. You should have 1.5 cups. Discard solids. Combine puree and 2 cups chilled white cranberry juice in a pitcher. Top with 2 cups chilled seltzer or sparkling wine, such as Prosecco or Cava. Serve in champagne flutes garnished with mint sprigs. And doesn't really say how much it makes, but you can add up all the ingredients. From Woman's Day, some smoothie bowls. It says they can be stored in bags in the freezer to make mornings a cinch. You just dump and blend. The peach smoothie bowl, and these all serve one. In a blender, puree 2/3 of a cup frozen peaches or mango, 1/2 cup chopped summer squash, and 1/4 cup coconut water until smooth. And then top with Caracara orange pieces, pepitas, and toasted coconut chips. The raspberry smoothie bowl. In a blender, puree 1 cup frozen raspberries, half of a peeled and cooked beet, and 6 tablespoons unsweetened almond milk until smooth. Top with assorted berries, chopped roasted almonds, and granola. And for the strawberry smoothie bowl, which also serves one, in your blender, puree 1 cup frozen strawberries, 1 cup chopped frozen cucumber without the skin, and 2 to 4 tablespoons carrot juice until smooth. Top with fresh strawberries, chopped pistachios, and freeze-dried strawberries. Here's a mason jar salad for you. Burrito bowl salad serves one. In a 16-ounce mason jar, layer 2 tablespoons Southwestern or Chipotle dressing, which is made by, just Chipotle ranch dressing, 1/4 cup black beans rinsed, 1/4 cup corn kernels, 1/4 of an avocado chopped, 1/3 of a cup of cooked rice, 1 cup chopped romaine lettuce, and 1 tablespoon shredded cheddar. Take that to work, huh? For the sesame chicken slaw mason jar salad, in that same mason jar, you can layer 2 tablespoons sesame ginger dressing, 1/2 cup of chopped red cabbage, 1/2 cup chopped cooked chicken, 1/4 cup shredded carrots, 1/2 cup cooked quinoa, and 2 tablespoons dry roasted edamame or wasabi peas if you're feeling adventurous. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.